A story in the paper the other day, over the weekend, I saw officials pulled an invasive silver carp from the waters of Lake Calumet on the city's far south side on Thursday. This fish was the size of a Prius. It was 38 inches long. It weighed 22 pounds. I know people who vote aren't that big. This thing was enormous. Or maybe it wasn't. Hey, Brian, how big was that in terms of Kopi, in terms of invasive carp fish? How big would you say that is?
So for a silver carp, it's a pretty good-sized fish. Yeah, it's probably been around for quite a while. They get quite a bit bigger than that, but given the conditions, the environment, I would say that's a good-sized fish, certainly.
Well, you know, my point is it's a mature fish. And by the way, Brian Schoenig is the IDNR's Aquatic Nuisance Species Program Manager. We got one. He's an expert on these invasive carp. So that's a healthy, that's a big fish, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And want to give a shout out to Cody Bertrand, who was the bass fisher that reported that. He was out there, I think, last weekend bass fishing in Lake Calumet, saw what he thought was a carp, reported it, which is what we want people to do. And after, you know, sort of asking some questions to really nail down, you know how we felt, what he saw was what he saw, and kind of linking it up with the description, we're like, yeah, we should probably get out there. So we worked with our partners with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and sent in a response group there Wednesday, worked all day out there Wednesday, went back again Thursday, and that's when we found the fish. So
wait a minute,
we've had crews.
Somebody spotted the fish, and then you went out and caught it. How do you catch that fish? How do you do that?
A lot of effort, a lot of electrofishing, a lot of gill netting, a lot of trammel netting. So we pretty much saturated that entire area with just redundancy upon redundancy of sampling. And
well, what kind of barrier or program do you have to keep? Because there's Lake Calumet near the Illinois-Indiana border, and then there's Calumet River that looks like, according to the map I'm looking at, goes into Lake Michigan. So what kind of access do the fish have from there to there?
So, yeah, this fish, where it was located, had nothing preventing it from swimming right out into Lake Michigan. So other than, you know, 5 or 6 miles of river stream, it's right there. So it's on the wrong side of the barrier, and that is why we've had such a strong response to finding that fish.
But then
we do this on a regular basis. Every spring, every fall, we do seasonal intensive monitoring with our partners, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and we sample above the barrier in the spring and in the fall, and pretty thoroughly. And we found one fish above the barrier, well, two fish over the course of the last 10 years. So whenever something like this turns up, then what we do is what we call a rapid response. So for the next 2 weeks, we'll have a variety of crews and gear types out sampling this entire area all over again to make sure that there's no other fish that we're missing out there.
Describe the barrier that the fish had to get by, assuming that's how the fish got there. I suppose somebody could have picked one up and dropped it in the lake. But describe the barrier that the fish would have had to get by to get to Lake Calumet.
So outside of the, you know, series of locks and dams that the fish would have to navigate through, there is an electrified barrier that is administered by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is actually a suite of multiple barrier arrays. It's electrified arrays that are designed to keep fish from moving up through there. So especially a large-bodied fish like this got close enough, would get in the field, would get stunned, and ultimately either drift back downstream or be repelled by that electricity. So, you know, it's potentially possible that this fish has been up there since before the barriers were put into place. It could have been introduced by someone, could have been introduced as bait a long time ago. It's really hard to speculate just how it got there. But the thing that, you know, we worry about is that, you know, obviously the barrier's integrity is very important to keeping these fish out of the Great Lakes. And obviously the Brandon Road effort, again, is something that even goes a step beyond that with a series of barriers that's planned as part of that project. So
hold on, Brian. You said electric barrier. Do you mean there's a fencing, a physical barrier, or is it just you're shooting electric waves through the water?
It's a series of electric waves, narrow and wide array that is constantly active within the water.
Well, if I were swimming along there, would I feel it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It would not be good for you.
Well, hooray! But I mean, that's so weird that you've electrified the water so that I guess any fish, any frogs, anything would be repelled by that, right? Does it kill them, or just they go, "Ooh, I don't like that," and they go the other direction?
Generally speaking, I think what happens is that these fish have highly developed barrel lines, right? They can sense that electricity and try actively to avoid it. So, we don't see a lot of movement back and forth. Now, smaller fish are less susceptible to it than larger fish, but, we've got the capability to increase the power output there if need be, if we were to find small fish below the barrier. But I think, by and large, the integrity of the barrier is pretty strong right now. So,
are you worried? One in Lake Calumet. Are you worried that an invasive carp has gotten into Lake Michigan, or that that's inevitable?
No, I don't think that that's the case. I think that we've been actively fishing down below, essentially Dresden Island, where we have populations of carp with contracted fishers and then commercial fishing down below that. And essentially that population front has not advanced in the last 15 years. So what we're doing is effective. And at the same time, a rogue fish that somehow makes it through by, whatever means that it's hard to speculate on, that obviously raises concern. One fish or two fish is not a crisis, but if there were a number of fish that were on the other side of the barrier, that north side, then we would have to change up our approach to a certain extent and be more aggressive. But, we do a very good, like you mentioned, we had an angler report a fish. We went out there with a sampling crew on the second day we caught that fish.
Positively amazing.
We are pretty effective at getting these things, and the sampling that we do in the spring and in the fall over the course of a number of years, and we've not captured them, suggests that their numbers are extremely, extremely low above the barrier.
That's good to hear. I mean, most of us would be happy if we just caught any fish, let alone, hey, I saw a fish yesterday, go get it. Brian Schoenig is the DNR's Aquatic Nuisance Species Program Manager. I'm going to call you again, Brian. I can tell you know your stuff, and I'm glad you do. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.